You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, we cover down on all the stuff, all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Okay, it's that time. It's that time. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m., we try to do this thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring on two of my brethren who've been in radio for a bit, and they've got great opinions, and we ping each other with questions, and we see how we do. We don't always agree, but we always love each other when it's done. So I'm going to call the roll from FM Talk 106.5 and the executive editor for 1819 News, Jeff Poor. Are you here?
I am present.
Wow. Jeff is full of vim and vigor today. Get you some caffeine, brother. All right, listen, jump over then. WVNN's Burnt Morning Show guy, program director, and writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. Is you not here?
Oh!
All right. I pronounce a quorum. The Grand Council shall convene. Play it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the first question. Just want to hear your thoughts on this, because we're seeing, you know, right now they're talking about potentially this could be a red wave midterm, not just like legislative races in House and Senate. We're looking at governor's races. We're looking at, you know, down ballot races. There's a lot of momentum. What are you guys thinking? I mean, if you look around the nation right now in terms of the red side of politics, who are the rising stars coming up that people are like, man, where'd that person come from? Love to hear your thoughts on that. Dale, you first.
All right, first off, I don't like the red wave talk. I'm calling it a crimson tide. I don't know. Maybe I love Alabama more than you guys.
You just had to do it. You had to do that.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And when I see a crimson tide, it's not just red. It's red with the bones and blood of your enemies flowing into it. That's what I envision as a red wave. So that's first and foremost. Secondary.
Boomer is on his feet waving his hands in the air right now, just so you know.
Yes. This is secondly, Carrie Lake.
Yeah.
Carrie Lake is turning into one of those rising stars. Win or lose, I think we'll see more of her. How she has gotten all these, and I was talking with Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First this week, and I was like, why are you guys agreeing to let her come on your program with this nice lighting and the soft focus lens? And I'm like, how is she pulling this off? And he's like, I don't know the particulars, but I bet it has something to do with them offering to pay the freight to get the setup in there. Just like they used to let Trump call in because he was a big enough fish, they'd let him do that. This is just weird. So I think she's, with her news background, she's a future star, win or lose. If she wins, she'll be huge. If she loses, she'll still be a player.
I agree. If she loses, I think she'd wind up having a job on Fox News, to be honest. But Jeff Rowe, you, rising stars, who do you see?
How about Tudor Dixon? I never, you know, would have thought of her as a When I first saw that she was running for that gubernatorial spot, I got like, well, you know, we've seen this play before, and is there anything there? But it looks like the way Michigan is going, that could be pulled off. The others, I got to be honest, I'm surprised that J.D. Vance is doing as well as he is, you know, one of these aspirational candidates. But we knew who he was before this election cycle, so I don't know if that necessarily counts. Besides that, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some others that we're going to hear about. I'm surprised we haven't heard more about the House races that are up for grabs, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, and I agree. Carrie Lake is the first one on the list, and J.D. Vance was the next one I had on the list as being names that are on the ballot that I think we're going to wind up seeing more of in the days to come, even regardless of what happens in their race, although I think both are going to win. I'm of the mind that those two are going to wind up being around, being a force, at the very least having a voice. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. In terms of people who exist already in office, but who have kind of sort of got their feet under them recently, Tommy Tuberville just got that piece of legislation. Not many first-term senators can get a solo piece of legislation passed in a Democrat-controlled Congress and have a Democrat president sign it right for a midterm. So impressed with that. Looking forward to see what happens when he actually becomes a senior senator for the state. But there's that. All right, Dale Jackson, next question. What you got?
All right. So last night we saw this debate with Fetterman and Oz, and Democrats must have watched it and be like, oh, my God, please, somebody pull the plug. And when that didn't happen and John Fetterman continued to sputter and stammer his way through there, I think in the background I heard somebody grab a little hammer, run over to the wall, and smash the glass. And it says, break glass for Gloria Allred. And they hit the glass. And they said, get Gloria Allred. And now she's out and she's like, this Republican did something bad with sex. And here she is. This shows they're screwed, right?
Well, first of all, apparently I've been neck deep in other things. What did Gloria Allred come out and have an accusation for this time?
Herschel Walker.
Oh,
another, you kidding me. Another abortion person.
Oh, Gloria Allred. I mean, she's such a spoof of plaintiff lawyers. They even put her in movies to spoof plaintiff lawyers. Take that for a grain of salt is what it is. But I don't see it happening. But, yes, do I think they're screwed? Yeah. I think that right now there is total buyer's remorse on not replacing. I mean, I don't know what the laws are in Pennsylvania. I don't know what their party regulations are. But in Alabama, if a candidate has to be removed for cause, like having a stroke, the party can replace the candidate. I don't know why the Democrat Party marched forward with Fetterman as their dude.
But he's a radical.
I guess because he's a radical, or maybe because he's still the acting lieutenant governor or current lieutenant governor, and they couldn't remove a guy who's still serving in office. I don't know, but it's backfiring big time. Jeff, chime in.
I'll say it again. I think Democrats love some beta males with tattoos. That's why they are so wedded to this Fetterman guy. I never got it. He was a big bad character during the COVID stuff because he was pro-mask, pro-shutdown, and yeah, this kind of burly figure in a hoodie wearing a mask who's going to mess with this guy. That's what Democrats are all about. Yeah. And then it turned out he's a lousy candidate. So, they've been hyping him up a lot. The other thing I'd say in addition to Gloria Allred showing up on the scene, because the Herschel Walker angle is working so well for him, I just think we're going to see so much more race claims of racism. And they'll see race everywhere because they're desperate. They need the African-American vote on November 8th, and are they going, you know, to do anything? And it doesn't seem like there's any enthusiasm there.
But does anybody find the irony, though, in the accusations of Herschel Walker? One of the biggest campaign issues for the Democrat Party is access to abortions, and the accusations they're trying to bring him down with are that he paid for girlfriends to have abortions. I mean, that's almost like saying, thank you for being more like us.
Planned Parenthood should have given him an award.
I'm saying. It just
it sounds like he's a frequent flyer. I mean, show us your punch card.
But I don't buy it. If they discovered this just now, I mean, come on. Like less than 2 weeks before the midterms. Jeff, your question, what do you got?
True or false, guys? I'm kind of leaning on some 18-19 news stories just today. But the lead we had earlier today was you're kind of calling into question this idea that Alabama is it ranked really low for its business tax climate. But every time you bring up grocery tax or any kind of tax, a lot of these lawmakers say, well, remember, guys, Alabama is a low tax state. Is that true or is that false?
Well, it depends. And I say that, I sound like such a lawyer saying that. But if you're looking at property tax, thank you so much, Dale Jackson. I'm going to mute him for you. But no, the reality is property taxes, yeah. But the fact is we have this jacked up budgeting system that we have split budgets. So you have like no revenue tax growth potential going into the general fund. You have like all of these huge growth taxes causing a windfall over in the education trust fund. And yet there's very little appropriation ability because everything's so earmarked. I mean, the whole thing is just really jacked up. But the reality is we're not a low tax state. We're not. We're off center when it comes to things like corporate income tax, grocery tax, point of sale, things that happen with gas taxes. So we're not at all a low tax state. Dale?
Live in another state. Come to Alabama, be relatively successful, you'll view Alabama as a low-tax state. I think that's what they're going for. I mean, I think Jeff and I have both lived in Florida at one point in time. We could talk about the cost of insurance and taxes and stuff on your home down there. It is significantly higher. Maybe the poor get hit a little harder here with the food tax and stuff you're talking about there. This business tax is relatively low. So I think it's sellable as maybe to you if you're quibbling around the edges and stuff. But I think it's easy to make that argument.
Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
No, I think it's mythology. Because there's no balance in our tax structure where this is a tax foundation study here. It's worth looking at. But property taxes were 18th in the country. That's not bad. But sales taxes were 50th. Well, if we were first in property taxes and last in sales taxes, then we're talking here. But if you look at the neighboring states, Alabama 41st in this study overall, Florida 4, Tennessee 14, Mississippi 30, Georgia 32, Alabama 41. I don't think we're a low tax state. And whenever we bring up the grocery tax, we may be an oasis for refugees from other states because of the culture, because of social issues. But as far as economics, people are going to Texas and they're going to Florida. They're not coming to Alabama unless we roll out the red carpet and pay their way the first few years. So I just don't think that we are necessarily the low tax state that we think that we are.
I agree, but I already said that. But I've actually got that article printed out sitting here on my desk. That's part of my triple dipper for the day, is that leading off with that article. Taxation fixation is what I'm going to call it. All right, fellas, round one. We're done with round one. Let's go take a break right now, Boomer. We'll come right back. Jump into round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, and Yellowhammer News, and me, Phil Williams, right here, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Back now with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I got the next question, I believe, and I'm totally switching. I'm going off of my written list. I just saw a story, fellers, up on Fox News. Elon Musk, you know, the whole situation with him buying Twitter. Well, apparently the acquisition deadline is looming like this coming Friday. There's been speculation, will he follow through? Is it going to work? What's going to happen? He just walked into Twitter headquarters today, just literally walked in the front door. I've got video here of him carrying a kitchen sink in his hands, and he set it down, and his comment was, let that sink in. And then he changed his Twitter profile to name himself the Chief Twit. So here's my question for you. The left is freaking out. They're losing their opportunity for censorship, it sounds like. What do you think is going to wind up happening here, Dale Jackson?
Well, I think this guy has way too much money to play with. That's number one. And you know, I'm not a socialist or anything, but if anything's going to make me one, it's this. This guy having this much money just to screw around with and troll people with. The reality is this is great for everybody. I think that this puts the woke scolds on notice, and that's always fun to see. And I'm hoping that this is a new era for online and what people will be able to do on the internet without having to worry about the censors coming in and getting them. So hopefully that's what this looks like. And it looks like he's leaning hard into this, but as sort of how he's adopting this personality that people have put on him as a take no prisoner sort of guy. So let's see it carry itself out to fruition.
Jeff Rowe, what you got?
One well, knock on Twitter always that it never lived up to its potential as a money maker, that it just kind of existed as this utopia pseudo social media platform that a lot of influential people use. But I think now it's either going to go one of two ways. Twitter's going by the way of MySpace, or it's going to be something that will make Elon Musk a lot of money. I mean, I know that's but it's not going to be anything like it is now. It's not going to be in between. So do I think it's going to be a new day for social media? I don't know. There's always the next better mousetrap, and we're due for something like that. But it can't be any worse than it is now.
No, totally. I agree. I think there's going to be some changes. I think what you're hearing right now is there's going to be massive layoffs at the Twitter corporate headquarters. I do think there's going to wind up being a change in the way things are happening. I also saw the other day people were talking about how their accounts are just dropping, you know, followers left and right. I think what that really was Twitter, knowing the deal's about to close, is dumping bots. And so all these bots were just dropping off left and right. They're trying to purge the bots before the new guy gets in there and scolds them for it. Next question. Who was next? I think it's Dale.
All right, let's talk about something here. What is the one Republican race in a swing state that you think is most likely to not go their way? A lot of talk of red waves or crimson waves with blood and bones and all this other stuff people are saying, like me. What is the one race you see someone, the Republicans, not following through and winning?
I'll jump on that. I think it's real close in Arizona. Mark Kelly has been pushing back against the Democrat mantras on the border issues. He is seen as a not kind of a moderate Dem by any stretch, but nonetheless, he's seen as a guy that is less beatable than some of the others. I mean, Herschel Walker's got an uphill climb still, but I do think Herschel's going to wind up pulling it out. I think Arizona is the one that is the most difficult right now. You even saw some of the Senate re-election campaign dollars being pulled out of that race just a few weeks ago. Jeff?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not a buyer on this Washington State, Tiffany Smiley stuff, nor am I on New Hampshire. I think Georgia's probably going to go Republican, but, Blake Masters, Mark Kelly, if I had to pick one, that's the one I don't feel the best about, so probably Arizona.
Dale, your own question. What you thinking?
I think Arizona, too. That's really the one that I've been looking at the most. It's just, you know, Carrie Lake, can she drive and pull him over the finish line? You know, Jeff really got me thinking with all the stuff he said about Georgia and Brian Kemp and all those guys not splitting the ticket and stuff like that. I just think there's a lot of opportunity for non-split tickets in Pennsylvania and Arizona, and I think people have to watch out for that.
All right, 1 minute to go. Jeff, what's your question?
Well, this will probably run over, but we'll do it as fast as I can. Alabama State Bar Magazine calling the question, Gay Ivey's COVID emergency proclamation saying that they were unconstitutional. Is Governor Ivey going to regret, with all the litigation that's about to go down here, I think, not having a special session to codify this and trying to do everything retroactively?
Well, now I have to go read my State Bar Magazine. there's that. But I really do think there's going to be a pile of COVID-related legislation. And, suing the state does have a cap on damages, so it's going to wind up being something that could happen. But they're going to have to prove arbitrary and capricious, and that's what she's got in her defense. Dale?
I also have to go read my State Bar Magazine.
You don't know how to read.
That's right. I'm sorry. Someone will have to color me a picture. I think she's going to have some problems with it, but the impact on her politically is non-existent. The impact on the law in the future probably will be pretty severe.
5 seconds, Jeff. What are your thoughts on your own question?
Yeah, we're gonna see suits for days on this stuff.
Suits for days. Trial lawyers loving what they got. All right, fellas, appreciate y'all. That's the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson, WVNN out of Huntsville, and Yellowhammer News, and me, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.